Good morning. Glad you're here today. Hope you've had a great weekend so far, and I'm glad we can be together to worship God to start a new week, just like God's people have done together for 2,000 years. We have a lot of visitors with us here today. Thank you for being here. We hope we get a chance to say hi to you before you leave today. There's probably somebody, even if visitors or members, probably somebody in this room you don't know, so let's all make sure we try to encourage each other. The fact that we're here says that we're all trying to live for God, so let's try to encourage each other as we can. Really glad you're here. If you are visiting, we like our visitors to know that we're trying to just be Christians here at Great Oaks. We put Church of Christ on the sign because we're trying to just follow Jesus Christ. We're not trying to follow denominationalism or man's ideas or any person. We're trying to just follow Jesus Christ and help each other follow Jesus Christ. We'd sure love for you to be part of that. And so if you have any questions about us, please, please let us know. And we'd love to answer any questions we can or help you in any way that we can. A couple things we're excited about right now. We are in the middle of 40 days of prayer. This has been a fall tradition for us at Great Oaks for several years. Today is day 22. And so if you're keeping up with us, the website on our church blog has a different prayer devotional that goes up each day. If you've fallen behind on those, you can find all those listed there. You can also see them on the Great Oaks Facebook page. And what we're challenging ourselves to do, what we're encouraging each other to do, is to read that prayer devotional every day and just take some quiet, intentional time in prayer. That is really difficult for us to do in our busy, always connected world. And so it is a big statement of faith to turn the phone off or to set the phone aside and to just take some time to pray. And so we're doing that. Since we're at day 22, we're right here in the middle of it. If you've fallen behind, that's fine. Catch up. If you're watching online, that's fine. Catch up with us. We just want to encourage each other to pray. And it helps me. I hope it helps you. It helps me to be more prayerful, knowing that we're all working on our prayer lives at the same time. So that's what we're trying to do as a church family. And as we get to the second half of this, every year we have a special weekend where we really focus on prayer even more than the other days in that 40-day. And so that is next weekend. So we hope you can be part, in whatever way, of next weekend's weekend of prayer. And here's how it works. We are going to have 24 straight hours of prayer here at the building. Starts at 4 o'clock this coming Friday. Two things you can do for that. Whether you're a member, a visitor, watching online, whatever, please fill out a prayer card. We would love to pray for you. You don't have to put email addresses or anything if you don't want to. Just put your name, put some things you'd like us to pray about. You can drop it in the box in the lobby. We have these cards sitting on a table out in the lobby. We would love for you to fill this out. People are going to be up here for 24 straight hours praying through these prayer requests. We believe in the power of prayer. We believe God answers those things, works in people's lives. And so please fill that out. If you're watching online and you're not here to pick one up in the lobby, you can go to our website and click on Request Prayer and fill out a similar form that will come to our office. And we'd love to pray for you. A second thing, we'd love for you to be part of that 24 hours of prayer. And so if you can sign up in the lobby for a one-hour prayer shift, you will come in. We'll have a piece of paper that has all sorts of things about our outreach in this community for you to pray through. We'll have the stack of prayer requests for you to pray through. It's always faith-building. It's always encouraging. And that's our 24-hour prayer vigil Friday and Saturday. And then next Sunday, as we had the whole weekend of praying together, Sunday morning as we come into worship, our lesson in particular is going to think about our city and our outreach in our city. We've had this whole weekend of praying for our outreach in the city, and then we're going to talk about it together in our lesson. And then we know not everybody's ready to jump back into potlucks yet, but if you are getting out and ready to be a part of a potluck lunch with us, please stay with us for a potluck lunch next Sunday. And so it's always a good weekend. We hope you can be part of it. If you have questions about it, please let us know. Since we are focusing on prayer, we'll do what we did last week. We'll take just a few seconds of silent prayer. We can all pray to God on our own. And then I'll pick up and lead us all in prayer and begin our lesson. I'm sure as we're quiet, we're blessed to have kids with us. I'm sure some kids will be making noise. That's fine. We're glad they're here. Some adults may be making noise. That's fine. We're glad you're here too. But let's take a few seconds of private, quiet prayer, and then I'll lead us, and then we'll start our lesson. Let's pray. God, we love you. And we thank you for prayer, and we thank you for people who gather on the first day of the week to worship you. Lord, you know the difficult time we've all been going through over this past year and a half and all the difficult decisions we're all making. I pray, God, you help things to continue to get better. I pray that in the near future, we pray that things can get more settled and that we can truly all be back together in our worship services. Bless every family that's part of our worship today. Help us to live for you. God, as we study today, I pray that what is said will be what you want to be said. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Since we're talking about prayer, we've had last week and this week to just really think about prayer since we've been praying in our 40 days. And last week, if you're with us, we talked about Paul's thorn in the flesh, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where his prayer was answered no. It was answered no repeatedly. He says, I asked God three times, and God kept saying no. But what we learned from that, I hope what we learned from that, is that Paul still grew in his strength. He saw God's grace. He saw God's power in that. And so it was still a faith-building experience for Paul to be praying about difficulty, even when the answer was no. Today we're going to ask the question, how do I pray? If that seems too foundational a question, if that seems too basic a question for you, I just want to remind us that this was a question that the apostles asked Jesus in Luke chapter 11. That Jesus is praying and they see him praying in verse 1. And when he is finished, one of his disciples comes up to him and says, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. That's a great question. And I love the humility in that question. I love that these guys who Jesus has chosen to be his special disciples, I love that they are not too proud to say, God, please teach us, Jesus, please teach us to pray. I want to pray. John taught his disciples to pray. Can you teach us to pray? I hope we're never so proud as to think that we can't get better at anything, even our prayer life. And that's what we're trying to focus on at this time of year. And so they come with that great question. Teach us to pray. And that question has been asked in Bible classes. And that question has been asked by new Christians. That question has been asked down through the centuries of God's people. I want to pray to God in a way that's meaningful, in a way that's appropriate. How do I do that? If you've got the outline, you can see we're going to do several things. And our main passage today is Matthew chapter 6. We're going to see several things about prayer from that section of Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 are the Sermon on the Mount chapters. And so the best-known sermon of all time, Jesus Christ himself is speaking. And he has this section where he begins talking about prayer. If you want to open it for yourself, feel free to open it and have the whole context in front of you. I've got the verses on the screen. I want us to notice a few things we find in that passage. First of all, Jesus starts with how not to pray. And that's how he even gets to prayer. He's talking about hypocrisy. And how sometimes we can make our faith about ourselves more than about God. And so he talks about giving. You don't give and say, hey, look, I'm giving. You give in a way that you're really giving to God. You're really giving to further the kingdom of God. And that leads him to prayer. And so he's going to tell us, you don't pray just to be seen. Prayer is not a performance for people. It's not a performance for people to see that you are someone who's praying or that you have great words while you're praying. That's not what prayer is about. Those are things that are mistaken motives. He says in verse 5, when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. So it's not bad to pray on a street corner. Wasn't bad for them to pray in a synagogue or for us today, a church building. Wasn't bad to pray before your meal as you're eating in public. It's not saying it's bad, but the motive is what was wrong. They're praying so that people will see them. He says, the last sentence in that verse, truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. That's what they wanted. They wanted people to see them. They got it. People saw them. But God's not going to reward that. They're not going to get a reward from God. Their whole reward is what they wanted, for people to see them. He says, but you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Your translation may say, will reward you openly. God rewards True, genuine prayer. And so somebody sees that and says, so is he saying that we're not supposed to pray in public? Well, no, Jesus prayed with his apostles on several occasions. When he fed the 5,000, there was a time of prayer. Jesus prays publicly often. In Acts chapter 4, after Peter and John are released from prison, the church, the disciples come together and they have this public prayer together. I can say for my own life, one of the most encouraging things for my faith as someone who was in college at Tennessee Tech University years ago, was to see some fellow college students in the lunchroom who were bowed in prayer before they ate their meal, not afraid to pray. And I hope they weren't praying just to be seen. I hope they were praying because they wanted to thank God for the meal, and they weren't afraid. So we're not afraid to pray where people will see us, but we don't pray to be seen. And that's what Jesus is saying here. It's not a performance. We're not trying to show off for anybody. And when we go into private prayer, when it's just me and God, there's something really special about that. There's something really special because there's no one to impress there. Like, that tells us a lot. My private prayer life may tell me a lot about what I really believe about God and how much I really want to honor God in a way that doesn't have anything to do with impressing people. Because there's no one to impress in the inner room. Just me and God. Do I believe he's there enough to really talk to him where no one's going to know I'm talking to him? Where no one's going to know I'm praying? There's something special and faith-building and tells me what I really believe when I close my door and I turn my stuff off and I just pray to God. He says, your Father will reward you for that. He goes on to say some other ways that you shouldn't pray. And this doesn't apply to us as much, but in their day and time especially, he says, verse 7, when you're praying, don't use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do. Now, it's possible for us to use meaningless repetition and just say words we don't mean. That's possible. But what they were doing in Jesus' day and time, they would just give these statements, just repeated over and over and over in prayer. And they thought that if I just say them enough, the gods will do what I want them to do. Almost trying to trick the gods into doing what they wanted by saying the magical words. He says, don't be like them, verse 8. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Keep that phrase in mind, because he's not saying that to say, don't ask him. But God does already know. So that leads us to think a little bit about what prayer is all about to begin with. So we don't use meaningless repetition. But we're not using magic incantations to get the gods to do what we want them to do. We're not trying to impress people. What are we doing? Like, what are we actually doing when we pray? Prayer is talking to God. That's what it is at its essence. We are speaking to God. Now that should give us a little awe and reverence. If we really let that sink in, that should make us think a little bit. This is the creator of the whole world. He said, let there be light, and light just appears. He says, let there be water, and let it divide, and it just does it. God does whatever he wants to do, and yet, we can talk to him. He wants us to talk to him. Let's add that to the outline if you're keeping it. Not only can we talk to God, but he invites us to talk to him. We're commanded to pray. Jesus in his parables encourages us to pray. And I've thought about it this way sometimes. Now, I may not be thinking of it right, but this is the way I've thought about it. That God, I think I'm right on this part, but then the second part, maybe you can correct me on. God doesn't just want us to do the right things in our life. He wants that. But he also wants the relationship with us. I think I'm right on that part. This is the way I've thought of it in my mind, which maybe it's not the best analogy. Maybe it is. I've thought about it maybe from a parent perspective. What if I had a kid, good kid, doing good things, doing the things I want them to do in life? And when they're talking about me, like out in public, they say good things about me as their parent. That's nice to know. And every now and then they say thank you. But we don't really talk a lot. They don't talk to me a lot for whatever reason. They're too busy. They're doing their own thing. And so there's just not a lot of communication. I wonder if God feels that way sometimes about his people. They're doing good things. They seem to want to live for me. They seem to say good things about me. But we're not communicating a whole lot. Why aren't they talking to me? I think God wants us to live right. He also wants the relationship. And that's such a big part of prayer. That we get to talk to God, and he wants us, he invites us to talk to him. Not because he doesn't know, he knows. Like there's nothing I'm going to tell God that he doesn't know. That doesn't mean I shouldn't pray. God still says, means I should. I want to talk to him about life. I want to share with him. And so if I'm talking to God, that's the thought process I need to have. What would I say to God, and how would I say it? God is above me. He is more powerful than me. So there's a certain way I would talk to God if I'm really talking to God. And there are certain things I would talk about. Hopefully it's everything and open and honest. But what would I say? So let's let that be our next question. What do I say to God? That's often, as we're growing in our faith, and we find that maybe we're not praying the way we want to. I don't know what to say, sometimes people ask. Like, what do I even talk about? Well, did you notice the prayer that Jesus gives that Phoenix read for us before I got up here? We sometimes call it the Lord's Prayer because it was taught by the Lord. We sometimes call it the model prayer. But notice what he says. Pray then in this way. Since we're not doing it just to show off for people, and since we're not doing it to give the magical incantations to make the gods do what we want them to do, well, just pray this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. You notice right away, there's a term of endearment to God. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy be your name, is that word. Hallowed means holy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, not my will. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. It's a real simple request. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And you notice the brackets that I've got the New American Standard version up here. Your translation may do it differently. See the brackets. Some of our copies of Scripture include this last part and some don't. And so we're not sure if this was added later, if this was what was originally in there. And I'm thankful we have all the copies to be able to see all that. But if this was what Jesus originally said, he says, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And you notice just how simple the prayer is. He's not trying to show off. It doesn't even take very long. You can say a prayer like this in a very short amount of time. Does that mean God doesn't want us to pray long prayers? Jesus sometimes prayed all night. So God, the length of the prayer doesn't matter. The length of the prayer doesn't matter. It can be short. It can be long. But it's talking to God is what you're doing. When you ask that question, what should I say? I was taught in Bible classes, and you may have heard from preachers along the way. Sometimes there's this little four-letter acronym that preachers use or Bible teachers use to help teach us, here's some things you can say to God that are biblical things to God. And they go with the acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S. And so let me share that. If that's new to you or a good reminder to you, just reminding us what sorts of things we say to God. One thing, adoration, you find in the prayers of the Bible. A for adoration. Where we're praising God, telling God how much we love Him and appreciate Him. That builds faith in me when I'm speaking the words or thinking the words to God that God's greatness is something I recognize and something I'm depending on. Just saying out loud, again, prayer helps us. And it deepens our faith. You notice that in Jesus' prayer here. He starts off, "Our Father who is in heaven, holy be your name, hallowed be your name." And you can read through the Psalms and see some great descriptions of the power of God. Some people like to begin their prayer by just reading a psalm and then maybe praying some of those words of praise to God as they begin their prayer. God, you're the one who's over creation. God, you're the one who made all of this, echoing whatever psalm they've just read. It's good to pray and tell God, acknowledge God's greatness and praise Him. The C in that little acronym of ACTS, confession. So I give God adoration. I praise His name. I confess. I see that in Jesus' prayer just a minute ago where He said, "Forgive us as we forgive our debtors." But you also notice here in Luke 18, when Jesus gives a parable about prayer, do you remember the tax collector and the Pharisee that go in to pray together? And I think Jesus is intentionally making it humorous because the Pharisee is so arrogant. He's saying, "Thank you, God, that I'm not like that guy." But the tax collector is praying a very confessional prayer. It says he was standing some distance away. He was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast saying, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." And then Jesus says he went back to his house justified. Not the arrogant guy. The guy who said, "God, please be merciful to me, a sinner." He's the one who went back saved by God, renewed in his relationship with God, because he humbled himself before God. Confession. What a great thing to say in our prayers. God, I know I'm a sinner. And God, I know I fail you far too often. Please forgive me. Acknowledging that God is great and that we are not. The T in that word acts, the little acrostics, for thanksgiving. I hope our prayers are filled with thanksgiving. Even if your life is not everything you dreamed it would be at some point, even if it doesn't meet all the check boxes that you would like it to be, there's still a lot of things to be thankful for. And it's good for us, and it helps us. Again, prayer helps us. It helps us to thank God for the things we do have and the things we are grateful for, the things God has given us. You see that, for example, in a lot of the Psalms, but I've got up here Psalm 100. He says, enter his gates with thanksgiving in verse 4, his courts with praise. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations. God's people have always been blessed by God's goodness. What do I say in prayer? Thank God. Thank God for the things you have. Tell him thank you. Just go down the list. It helps you. And then the fourth thing, that word supplication. I don't use that word supplication a whole lot in my everyday language, so I put the word request under there. We'll see in just a second, Philippians 4, depending on your translation, uses the word supplication. But that little acrostic, acts, ends with supplication. So we adore God, we praise God, we confess to God, we're thankful to God, and we give requests to God. God does want us to tell him our request. Just because he knows them, Jesus says in Matthew 6:8, doesn't mean he doesn't want us to hear us. He doesn't want to hear us give him the request. You see that, for example, in Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Tell God what you hope he will act in. Tell God the things in your life that you're aiming for, that you hope he will bless. Ask God to point you down the right paths. There's probably something going on in your life you're worried about. Ask God to help you with the things you're worried about. Ask God to be involved in those decisions that you're making about your life. Ask God to be with the people you care about in your life who are having those same decisions and those same worries. Ask God to be with our country and our culture and his church and outreach. Ask God to be involved. There are great promises in prayer that God has given us when we ask him. Sometimes God has changed the whole course of history because someone asked him. I think about Exodus 33 and 34, when the golden calf happens when Moses mount up on Mount Sinai, he comes down, God tells him about the golden calf. God says, Moses, I'm just going to start over with you. I'm going to get rid of these people. They're sinful. They're idolatrous. And I'm going to start over with you. Moses says, God, please don't do that. God says, okay, we'll do it your way. Since you asked, Moses, we'll do it your way, and we will continue to work through these people. God changed the whole course of the plan because someone asked. Hezekiah, God says, you're going to die. Your time has come. Hezekiah prays, God, please don't let this be the time. God sends the prophet right back in. He says, okay. God says, you get 15 more years. Sometimes God has changed the whole course of the plan, course of history. His ultimate will still be done. He can do that a lot of different ways because people asked. God wants us to ask. You say, what do I say? Let me give a couple other real quick things that are helpful for me in prayer. I think turning off the phone is helpful. That's a big deal for me. It may be for you to just turn it off and flip it upside down so the little flashing things that come up are not going to bother you. Sometimes it helps me to, maybe silly to you, to set a timer and say for the next 10, 12, 15 minutes, that's all I'm going to do. I'm not going to check the phone. I'm not going to turn on the TV. I'm just going to be praying for the next 10. I'll get to all that in 15 minutes, but that's all I'm going to be doing. Have your place. Have your quiet place. Have your quiet time where it's just you talking to God. The last thing I want us to talk about this morning was sometimes people ask this question, what's going on? What's going on when we always end our prayers in Jesus' name, amen? And sometimes people point out there's some prayers in the Bible that don't end that way. So it's not like it's a requirement. Why do we do that? Why do we often end our prayers, especially publicly, with in Jesus' name, amen? Well, first of all, there's some promises that Jesus gave about praying in his name. John 14:13-14 is one of those places where Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So what does it mean to ask in the name of Jesus? I think it means we're people who are right with Jesus, people who are trusting Jesus, who come to God through Jesus Christ. So sometimes people say that at the beginning of a prayer. Sometimes people say at the end of a prayer. I've heard people start their prayer with, Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's just implied in the prayer you see in Scripture sometimes where it's not even spoken, but these are Christians who are doing it. To me, it's wise in a public prayer to acknowledge to everybody that's what we're doing. In Jesus' name, we're coming to God. Also see that in John 16, 23 and 24, the same type promise where Jesus says, in that day you won't question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you've asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full. When we pray in the name of Jesus, we're praying as people who are right with Jesus, who are trusting Jesus, who are coming to God through Jesus, and who believe the promises of Jesus. When he said, pray in my name, and I give a special promise to that. And then what's going on with amen? Why do we say amen? Well, the word amen literally means let it be so. You look up that biblical word, it's in Hebrew, amen. It's in Greek, amen. We transliterate it into English, amen. It means let it be so. We're saying, God, please let this be. And sometimes that's said to a lesson, or God, let it be so. Let us acknowledge that what has just been read from the Scripture or said is true and that we will live it out. Sometimes we all say at the end of a prayer together, God, let these things be so. You see that in Scripture several times where people end their prayer with amen. Here in 1 Corinthians 14, you get the idea that the church would say amen at the end of a prayer together, just like we do today. Because verse 16, he says, if you're praying... And he's talking about speaking in tongues. He says, if you're praying in a tongue that nobody understands, how are they going to say amen at the end? How can they say, let it be so? They don't know what you said. And so he says, you need to have a translator. When they back in the days of these miraculous gifts of speaking in tongues. And so we say amen to say, God, let it be so. And so sometimes people ask that question. What's going on within Jesus' name? Amen. We pray at the promises of Jesus. And we're saying, God, please let this be so. I'm thankful for our annual focus on prayer. It's encouraging to me. I hope it's encouraging to you. If you haven't been able to be part of it yet, I hope you'll commit with us these next 20-ish days left and pray along with us in your private prayers. A couple things I want to end with. Prayer is about relationship. Again, I'm not telling God anything he doesn't know, but I'm talking to him. I'm building the relationship. I'm building the trust. I have spent time with God. You can't be close to anyone that you don't talk to. Communication is just part of that. If you want to know God, if you want to be close to God, prayer is going to have to be a big part of that. And if you've felt far from God recently, a big guess of mine would be maybe your prayer life hasn't been what you want it to be recently. That's a good place to restart, to rebuild that relationship with God. It's also about faith. If you're praying, you're trusting God's there. He's listening. You're trusting God's acting. You're trusting God's involved. You're trusting God can build your faith and work in your life. There's a relationship element. There's a faith element. So many good things come from it. I hope we'll continue to be people of prayer. They're trying to follow God. If we can help your spiritual life in any way today, we're a church family that's trying to help each other along the path. Please talk to us afterwards. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to talk with you about anything that would be helpful in your life to be a support to your faith. But we're about to sing a song of invitation. And during this song, if you'd like to take a public step of faith, we'd love to help you with that. Maybe you've come in today and you're ready to become a Christian. As you look in the New Testament, I think this is still a good summary of how they became Christians in the New Testament. They heard about Jesus. They believed in Jesus. They repented of their sins. That was a commitment. I want to live for him. They made a confession. They believed in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And they were baptized for forgiveness of sins. If you haven't done those things, we'd love to see you be baptized into Christ today. If you have questions about them, let us know. Or if we can pray for you as a church family about anything, we'd love to do that. If you'd like to take a public step of faith in any way this morning, you're invited to come to the front now while we stand and while we sing.